was a word back in August, the 22nd, that the Lord gave me, and I shared it with my community, and I think it's, you know, it's unfair not to share it with you because I believe it was for the church. And I was sitting back there, and I began to see these big blue drops, just heavy blue drops. And I actually thought something was happening to me physically wrong. So I was kind of closing my eyes and rubbing my eyes and shaking my head. And I seen these big blue drops that looked like tears. And I said, Lord, are these tears? And the Lord said, no, they're both tears and rain. I said, okay. And the Lord gave me this word. He said, blue represents healing. It represents the word of God. It represents the presence of Yahweh. Yahweh is self-existing, relational God. God is with us, the unchanging God. God is holy. And instantly, the Lord began to talk to me about, remember the story of the woman that touched the hem of the garment and got saved, and she carried this blood issue disease for many, many years. And he began to talk to me about this woman that had the issue of blood and touched what was blue. And I don't know if you know the story. She pressed through and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment, which would have been laced in blue. That would have been what the edge of his garment looked like. And of course, it represents healing. It represents, deliverance. It represents all these things. But here's what he said. He's talking to Beloved. He said, I love that you're pushing through for your touch and encounter and identity. This is what he said for the body. He said, it will be noticeable. Everything and everyone will stop and recognize the work that he's doing in you and is going to continue to do in you. And he said, people will navigate their lives to be a part of what he's doing. He said, we're going to be defined by his design in this season. I want you to hear this. We're going to be defined by his design in this season, not our design, because we all have a concept of what it's supposed to look like. He said, you've gone past the hem. He's talking to Beloved. You've gone past the hem, which is experience. I love experiences and I love encounters, but I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not after his hem, I'm after his heart. Here's what he said. The church has gone past its hem to his heart of fullness. He said, it's not just a moment now, it's a movement. He said, it won't be just an encounter, it will be a constant presence. And he said this. He said, this day I declare a shift over Beloved from hem to heart position on everything that happens. And I was sitting over there, I love that I'm anointed, but there's a difference between presence in and presence upon. So there's a presence that you and I carry, but there's a difference between something resting on me and something dwelling within me. And the thing about a resting presence is sometimes it takes community. It takes a body that comes together in unity that creates a presence that's so great. I mean, if you look at in the Old Testament, when they would get together, God would show up because, you know, Moses went into the tent, he'd come out, and the people would fall before God. And many times we see it with Jeremiah and Nehemiah, encounters with God that would just sweep through and just rock people. So I love those moments. Listen to this. I love those moments, this woman with the issue of blood. I love those moments when we touch God in such a way that we actually pull from something from him and out of him that we're normally not experiencing. You understand that, right? You understand that there was hundreds and thousands of people touching Jesus, but nobody was actually pulling something from him. But when she decided in her heart that if only I can touch him, I'll never be the same. So there's something to be said about our pursuit corporately and what that looks like. The coin that's buried of great value is worth digging up, right? The pearl is worth digging up. The coin is worth finding, right? So I want to talk to you about something tonight. I think that's pretty interesting. It's been on my heart. It's kind of a hard subject because I come out of this place of strong legalistic religious concept where ministry was about numbers and not people. My success was valued on how large the church was, how well, you know, I was known in the circuit of whatever that looks like. And if people want that, I really don't have it. It doesn't mean they're not saved in no way, shape, or form. It just, for me, it got old really quick. For me and Darlene, it got to the place where, like, if this is all there is to what it looks like to be a shepherd or what it looks like to be involved in what you're doing, Lord, you know, I really could do something else and still do this on the street. We could still do this and not do it as leaders. And so you have a tendency sometime, even in those moments, if you're not careful. Now listen, this is very interesting. The thing I hate the most about religion is it adapts. Here's what I mean by this. You can be in the greatest encounter that you could have with God, and all of a sudden, the moment you develop a spirit that if nobody's doing what we're doing, they're missing it, religion has adapted. You understand that, right? No? Maybe yes? So maybe, I don't know. So here's what happens. We're to be defined by design. I love this. I'm going to share these two words right quick. Define means to determine your identity or identify by his or be identified by his essential qualities. Here's what God says. You're going to be defined by my design, by my essential qualities. It's not a religious quality. Design means created, fashioned, or constructed according to his plan. But it also means to embrace his purpose. Design means to conceive and execute a plan. So this thing with religion, what happens to us is we become very comfortable with where we are. And for most of us, religion has had this long-term effect on us. There are certain things in the kingdom that we absolutely reject because we've had a bad experience somewhere down the road with a denomination, a church, a leader, an encounter, and it robs us of stepping into greater truth in him. If there's a spirit that I hate, it's the religious spirit. Why? Because it takes healthy, wholesome truth and it distorts it. You understand that, right? It distorts what community looks like. It can distort what worship looks like. It can distort what giving looks like. It can distort what prayer like looks like, what worship looks like, and so on and so on and so on. What connection looks like, what intimacy looks like. You understand that, right? You understand if we're not careful that religious spirit can come upon us and we can begin to judge and condemn people according to where we are in our encounter. And so there's a lot of things that I'm very cautious of that I have these flags that I ask the Lord. Lord, these are things that, number one, I don't ever want to go back to where I was. I don't want to go back into works. I don't want to go back into religion. I don't want to go back into, self-exaltation or having the wrong concept of what we represent as a community and who we are and what we do and what that looks like in the kingdom. So I found this when I come out of a religious moment. I had a lot of things that was going on in my life that if you even brought up a word that was similar to those things, I would instantly reject it. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Right? So let me give you an example. So if you were involved in a church before and you were abused and used, woo, the rain, it's beginning to rain. Can you hear me okay though? Among the rain. So if you were in a church before and you were abused and used, anytime you hear the word works, volunteer, serve, you instantly go, religion. Am I telling you the truth? Right? Or if you gave some money to somebody that was in a ministry or a leadership and they spent it unwisely and you hear the word, we're going to take up an offering, Am I being honest? Right? So in no way, shape, or form do I want to talk to you about works tonight, but I do want to talk to you. And so I want to start off by saying this is in no way, shape, or form having to do with works. And I've kind of rephrased this so you wouldn't be so offended. So I want to talk to you about the power of consistency. Yahoo! Being consistent. okay? I want to start with a couple of scriptures. This is Luke 17, 20, 21. And we've been doing a series, and this is kind of the last message in this series. I've got several people, Noah's going to be preaching, and several other people are going to be preaching, but I'm going to be doing a several different messages on what it means to host the presence of God. How do we position ourselves correctly to host the presence of God? Because I think if we're going somewhere, it's important to know somewhat kind of our part is in that. Is that okay? Is that all right? The rain says yes. So this is Luke 17, 20, 21, the Amplified Bible. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation. How many of y'all know we depend a lot on observation? So much that when you came in here tonight, you had an observation of what the service was going to look like. If it's your first time, you had an observation whether or not you liked it. Right? What did you agree with? What did you not agree with? We do it with, we hear a sermon. It's amazing how we can hear a sermon and 95.9% of it be amazing, but we focus on the 4.5% that we disagreed with. It's just amazing to me. And I'm talking about myself. I've done it. Here's what he says. The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. He says this, for indeed, now in the King James Bible, it says behold. And behold is this beautiful Aramaic word. It means to see, to be aware, and to understand. This is Jesus talking. He says, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you, inside of you. And you need to see, be aware, and you need to understand that. Now listen to this verse. This is Romans 8:15. And I'm just reading these because these are kind of the main verses, what the Lord's really been dealing with me about for months and months. This is Romans 8:15-17. This is the Passion Translation. It's beautifully written. He said, and you did not receive the spirit of religious duty. So that's what I'm not talking about tonight. To be consistent is not religious duty. And I'll explain that in a moment. Leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. There are still a lot of believers that never feel they're good enough because of past experiences, past encounters, living in the past, living with their concept that they've allowed to shape their brain. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance, enfolding, that means to embrace you into the family of God. You will never feel orphaned, for as he rises up within us, our spirits join him in saying the words of tender affection, beloved Father. Now watch this. For the Holy Spirit makes God's fatherhood real to us as he whispers into our innermost being, you are God's beloved child. I mean, I'm telling you, this is a real moment that Paul's having here. And since we are his true children, we qualify to share all, somebody say all, his treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God himself. And since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is. Remember I talked about this? What's first? What do you go after first? All that he is. What does that create? The next line. And all that he has. Listen, it's impossible to discover all that he has until you start walking in all that he is. And I believe that's what God's doing in the house. So I believe this. We are presently there from his part. He knows what he's doing. All that we need in our heirship is there. We already have it. You are not becoming an heir. You are an heir because Jesus died and left his will and your name was in it. You get that, right? You are an heir, a joint heir right now. That means you have all this stuff that's been deposited within your account that's represented in his kingdom, his king. The word kingdom means the king in his domain. So it's always the king first before you can discover domain. And so that's what he's talking about in this verse. Okay, so I've provided everything you need. I've given you everything so that you can be who you were created to be. What's next in that is, what does that look like from my part? Because we don't like talking about us having any part. Because we've defined us having any part many times because we've been wounded as works. Used and abused. And that stuff really happens. So we either go one way or the other. We go, don't sign me up for anything, or sign me up for everything. And we still live in this very unhealthy place. And so what happens to us is we live in this mentality that my relationship with God requires no responsibility of me because his love is so amazing. And that is very, very true to some degree. Am I raffling and rubbling anybody's works doctrine mindset yet? Are you already processing what this looks like, what this message is going to be about? Here's my question. How many parts does it take to make a covenant? Come on, somebody. Let me hear you say it. And what happens when somebody in the covenant, and I'm talking about just, for example, your marriage. What happens when somebody in the marriage disconnects? Yeah, the covenant becomes very unhealthy. You know, one-sided relationships are very hard to manage. And because some of us have been so hurt by religion, so hurt by work, so hurt by all these things, we actually develop, and we even don't even know it because we feel like we're super spiritual where we're at, and we probably are, but we have these inward UGBs, ungodly beliefs that say, that word there is a religious word. We love the concept of tithing as long as we don't have to do it. We'll amen it. We love sacrifice as long as somebody else is doing it. Right? And so, you know, people ask me all the time, and this is true. You know, I'm not being mean, but, you know, I've gone this far. I might as well go a little further. Sometimes as a pastor, when you start a church, you get the sense sometimes from the community that you follow, they're sitting back going, okay, do it. And when you get it done, we'll jump in. Produce it. Perform it. Make it happen. So when we hear a prophetic word that this great move of God is coming, automatically in our mind goes, oh my gosh, the pastor and the staff, they're going to bring this great move of God. I'm so glad I don't have to carry that responsibility anymore. But I still, not as a pastor, as a part of this community, say, Lord, what does that look like for me? What's my part in that covenant relationship? Now listen to this. When I talk about, you know, connecting and consistency, I'm not talking about you trying to get closer to Jesus because you're as close as you're ever going to be to him. You need to hear that. He resides within you. This is not about getting closer to Jesus. It's not about earning his love for us. It's not about tapping in and earning anything. It's just about what covenant has a tendency to look like. And whatever you don't give yourself to, a lot of times will not produce anything. There's a part of me that has to be submitted. There's a part of me that has to be connected. So I've been asking the Lord, I said, the Lord, the last thing when I started this thing, it was just, I even sent Noah a copy of this message to have him read it. So I wanted to make sure that I was getting up here and you were not going to get this wrong message from me that was about you working for something. But there is a call upon our life to be consistent. So tonight I want to talk to you about we have to be consistent in who we're called to be. That's the design, created, fashioned, or constructed according to his plan. We have to embrace purpose to conceive and be a part of executing the plan. That would have been a really good place for an amen. That would have, you missed it. It really would have been, you know, saying sick 'em to the junkyard dog. You know, I don't know what that means, but it means something. So I want to start with Ephesians 2 and 10. And for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good. Here's that word we all hate. Say it. Oh my gosh. Works is religious, right? That's religion. God doesn't call us to do works. Well, he says you were created for that. Here we go. Watch this. That we may do good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So I want you to see, this verse is saying, when you were designed, before Jesus ever came, part of the purpose was so that you could discover not just who Jesus is, but your destiny and purpose in who Jesus is. And that would translate itself into some level of consistency, because you're not ready to hear the words work yet. We'll get there in a couple, about maybe 2 hours, but you'll be all right. Now listen to the Passion Translation. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us. We are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. You actually have something that you're required to do that enables you not to step in more of God's love, not to step in more to his forgiveness or his grace or his favor, but to step in the designed, defined purpose that he has for you. Oh man, I wish we could just float into it. I said, Lord, just let me float tonight on stage to show them that this message is from you. He said, lose 20 pounds. I said, I'm holding you to it. Right? So 2 Timothy 1 and 7, the Amplified. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardice, of craven, of cringing and fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and love and of a calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. And I'll talk about discipline and self-control in a moment. But first, let me give you the definition of consistency. It should be up there. You ready? Take a picture, do whatever you want. Consistency means to be marked by harmony, regularity, or steady continuity, free from variation or contradiction, marked by agreement, showing steady conformity to character, profession, belief, or custom. When I was preparing this message, this is what one of the things the Lord spoke to me. He said, consistency will be one of your greatest teachers. He said, Jamie, consistency. On your part, consistency will be one of your greatest teachers. Consistency is better than perfection. You need to hear this. We can all be consistent, but you know we all can't be perfect. That's the good news. I don't have to strive. Works is striving for perfection. That's what works is. Works is striving for this perfection that we're after, that we think we've got to prove something to be accepted, to be used, to be able to tap into the things that we're heirs to. But listen, consistency is different. Consistency is the relational journey of discovering his love and his identity. That's what consistency is. Let me tell you this. When I first met my wife, you bet your bottom dollar that I was consistent in pursuing her. I mean, literally. I chased her down. Hit her with a car. I went after her like a rabbit going after, dog going after, a dog hound going after a rabbit. I mean, I was on the trail. And you could hear me. Oh, 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 oh. I mean, I was, if you've never hunted off dogs, that's what it sounds like. I was consistent. I called her every day. Then I would call her again and I'd say, what are you doing now? She said, the same thing I was doing 10 minutes ago. Why? Because love motivates consistency. Works is not necessarily motivated by love. Work sometimes gets motivated by wanting something in return or earning something in return. But consistency is something that we realize love motivates us to become because we want to push in deeper and discover the love that we're pursuing. And sometimes that can look different ways. John Maxwell said this, I love it. He said, motivation gets you going, but discipline keeps you growing. He said, that's the law of consistency. It doesn't matter how talented you are. It doesn't matter how many opportunities you receive. He said, if you want to grow, consistency is the key. Now, I'm not a big John Maxwell follower, but I do love this place. Consistency is the place of discovery. It's a place where truth and knowledge become revelation. So when you ask God for something, do you ask one, and if you don't get it, go, ah, must not be God's will. If you're persistent, you'll get something, but if you're consistent, you'll keep it. You got that right? So we can go after encounters and moments. If we really get those moments, they move us into this place of consistency for going more and more and more. Lord, I'm not done yet. I don't know what makes us think that we've, in any way, shape, or form, have arrived to what the intimate power of God really looks like. It should be the thing that just moves us into this place. So when we get this, truth becomes revelation. It's something, it's a truth that becomes revealed through your life, into your life, out of your life. And consistency creates that place of discovery. There's things I would normally, in my religious state, if somebody said, oh, I had this encounter, I'd say, yeah, it's not the Bible. I ain't God. And I would just sit, there's days I would just sit on my sofa in the morning, my devotional time, my prayer time, and say, Lord, if that's you, I'd like to have that encounter. Because I had this belief system, listen to this, I had the belief system that unless I see it in the Word, I can't have it. You know, there's sometimes when you don't see it, but you have it in order to see it. You can have an encounter with God right now that you've never had before, that you don't know where it's at in the Bible, but all of a sudden, once you have that encounter with God, you go back, and all of a sudden, the Spirit empowers you to see something you've never, ever saw before, because somehow, something has blocked us from that revelation. And for most of us, it's past experience. Nobody should ever speak on an experience in a doubtful way unless they've pursued it. And even then, they want to be very, very cautious. So when we get a prophecy or we get a word or we get a truth from the Lord, what happens in that moment is I'm supposed to adjust the things in me. I have to adjust them. I have to adjust my thinking, my character, the way I see things, the language I use to express it. Because the Holy Spirit works with us to step and move us. Listen to this. This is where beautiful consistency and relationship comes in. It's not about, I'm not earning anything, but consistency moves you into this deeper place of intimacy. It just does. And God said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. It's going to be to your advantage. He's going to enable you to move forward. He's going to give you truth to move you forward into the future that God has. Your intimacy is this foundational truth. But what does that look like? We always hear about intimacy, 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 intimacy. Intimacy can only really come about when two people are consistent going after the same thing. the deeper places of love, the deeper places of nature and character that we exist with. Listen, John, this is John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. So God gives us the Holy Spirit. He's our guide to truth. He's our guide to the future. So here's my question. What do we do with that? We just float into the future? I got this truth now. Man, I wish it was that easy. It's there for the taking. But how hungry are you for it? Is the pearl that's buried in the dirt worth digging for? Is the coin that's lost in the house worth tearing up the whole house in order for you to find it? It's there. God's not hiding it. But there's something about consistency. You know, faith and trust is a part of being consistent. Everything, God never asks us to do something that he hasn't done or he isn't. Right? So I'm married. I love my wife. Been married for a long time. T.L. Arbor used to say that. Been married in Moore, Illinois. It's been a battle ever since. That's where he was really married. But anyway, listen, I've been married a long time. Listen, I don't ask for much, but in intimacy and consistency, here's our agreement. I love you, you love me. Let's be faithful to each other. Let's trust each other. If we're going to be consistent in anything, let's be consistent in those things. And then let's watch what covenant looks like bloom from that place. So the Holy Spirit is our guide. That word in the Aramaic means to show the way, to lead as the conductor. And then he deals with us about the future. That means it's simple, things to come next. It also means he'll accompany us. It also means come to pass. You know, God really believes what he said about you. He didn't say you're an heir just for the sake, this sounds good, this may encourage them. You're an actual heir. Here's what I want you to get. I want you to see what this looks like. So right now, let's look at consistency. You right now are in the present. What does a present look like? Right now, you are in a present place of truth. You're in this present place right now. You're here. This is your spot. You're here. Okay? Now, Jesus is here, but he's also out there. You're always present tense to some degree. But listen, Jesus is always present future tense. Always. And anytime I become consistent in what intimate relationship looks like, here's what happens. I start to move. The Holy Spirit says, I'm giving you this just as fast as I can move right now with my knees. So if somebody comes in here and starts shooting, I'm taking a bullet for everybody. I just want you to know that. Just jump behind me because that's about as fast as I can move. So I'm over here and I'm responding to truth. The Holy Spirit reveals this truth about destiny and identity. And God is here, but God's out there. And he's waiting. Truth is waiting for me to give a response. Relationships are built on response, consistent response. I didn't tell my wife I loved her the day I got married and not tell her since. Right? I'm not an Old Testament king. I don't have 400 wives, so I didn't spend one night with her and then move on. Thank God. I have one woman, and I'm called to be consistent in that covenant. So we're out there, and God's here, but God is still out there. And we're moving this way, and God's moving this way. And what happens in that consistency of relationship, at some point, whatever that truth that was deposited in you has a head-on collision with what your future is. In other words, you go deeper in your identity, you go deeper in your purpose, you go deeper in who you're designed to be. So I'm in purpose right now, present tense. You need to hear this. So God's both present and future tense. And I'm consistently moving, not because I'm a pastor, not because I started a church. Right now in my life, it doesn't matter if God says walk away tomorrow and do something else. Go work at Walmart. Let that be your church. I don't know what that looks like, but I'm just saying if God told me that right now, my goal is to constantly be moving forward in truth and revelation until I collide with the future of whatever that looks like for me. And that means encounter. Truth is only truth and real revelation till you consistently pursue it and have an encounter with it. People say to me, well, what do you mean the Father heart of God? You had this discovery, the Father heart of God. How did you get that? I was consistent. And getting by myself with the Father, with God, who I felt I knew, saying, I have my journal. I need you to talk to me about who you are. Listen, you realize that even though God showed up in the cool of the day every day to talk to Adam and Eve, they still had a choice to show up in the garden spot for intimacy. If there is no free will, there is no real intimacy. If there is no consistency, we need to question our level of intimacy from our end. God is always the same. He never loves you less. He never forgives you less. He never honors you less. He is all those. This is not, consistency is not about you going to heaven or going to hell. It's not about you being saved or unsaved. You can go through your entire life and be inconsistent. And the only thing that will happen to you is that you'll most likely miss the full purpose and destiny that God has for you. And I'm not speaking that over you. But for me to get truth and just plant myself and say, do it. How many of you like to eat healthy? I know, it's the Antichrist. How many of you like to eat healthy? You exercise. At first, you don't like it. When you're doing it, you don't like it. But when you start to look good in the mirror, wow, look at me. The kids are giggling. Yeah, you got a long ways to go, Dad. At first, it seems like this awful work. But listen, you value it so much that you become consistent and works out. You become consistent in what you eat. You know what that's called? You ready? It's called a lifestyle. You develop a lifestyle. My lifestyle moments last about 3 weeks. Then I go back to carrying this spiritual thing I'm birthing. When people say, have you lost weight or have you gained weight? I say, I'm birthing something right now in the spirit. And I think it's for you. And listen, I am in no way saying you're earning anything. I'm just telling you that love has a language. Love has a language. So if I said to you, you know, I have a wife and two beautiful kids, and so two days a week, I spend two nights at the house. I hang out with my kids and I hang out with my wife, but the rest of the week, I have a small apartment 4 miles down the road that I stay in. What would be your first thought? He got another woman. Or he's crazy. Or he don't really love his wife. Am I reading you right? But what if I said, you know, I really love my wife. But I lived in a very abusive home. My mother and father had an abusive relationship. Every relationship I've had since I was a young man, was an abusive relationship. Didn't matter who it was, I've had this abusive relationship. So thereby, by experience and the encounters I have this misconception of what intimacy and relation looks like. And it causes me to reject certain truths. It creates fear. It creates shame. It creates devalue. So I'm living in this place not because I necessarily want to, but my experiences have given me this shape, whether it be works, whether it be religion, whether it be something you've gone through with a leader, whether it's something you've gone through with your money, whether you've gone through this or gone through that. And you now estimate that anything opposite of that in a greater way is a negative. So you have defined a truth, especially with works. I think the most abusive trait most pastors have done to their body is the concept and revelation of the misrepresentation of works. And something about religion is it takes truth and destroys it. Because its ultimate goal is disunity, to disconnect you from the heart of the proper heart of the Father, the proper position of your own heart. It disfellowships, it discreates, it just creates this distance from church to church to church to church, because we've all got convinced that this is what we have and what we have is right, but what you have is wrong. And we can live in the same place in our own house. My thing is, I'm not necessarily going after God. In here, I'm consistent in my pursuit because I want to know the nature of the character of Him who resides in me. Him who loves me so much that He was willing to sacrifice all. Consistency is what leads us to the place of the discovery of truth that expresses itself, not just what's going on in here, but what's happening out there. We can have present truth, but just because we have present truth doesn't mean we have present revelation. There is no revelation without encounter. For truth to be revealed, it takes encounter. So a couple of verses, Philippians 4, and I'm almost done. Philippians 4, 9 says, keep putting into practice. This is Paul talking about himself. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me. Everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. I had somebody ask me one time. I have people all the time because of my past, my drug addiction, all that stuff that I've gone through as a young man. But I had people, how did you get free and how did you do this? And how did you, I just went after God. I just went after the heart of God. I would pray, and I wasn't doing it to earn anything. I needed to feel God's presence. I needed to sense God's presence in my life. And I've had literally people say, look me across the desk and say, that's too much. That's way too much. No, just put me on a drug. I said, well, I just come off of drugs. This is just my own story. And so I started to go after God. I began to be constant and consistent. You know, He's constant and consistent in His relationship from His end. And we get offended when He asks us to be constant and consistent. That's too much. No, I hope you were right when you told me to go ahead and preach this. I'm blaming Noah. Constant means marked by firm steadfastness and resolution. Resolution is the act of answering or responding. The act of answering or responding. So God is steadfast, He's resolution, He's faithfulness. You know what faithfulness is? A loyal follower. Steadfast in affection, to be faithful to trust, to establish, and to be a permanent. That's what faithfulness is. So I got this revelation years ago. 7 years ago, the Lord said, I need you to build upon your identity. I said, Lord, you have an identity. I need you to discover more of me to build upon your identity. I'm not talking about you serving in church. That's up to you. I'm talking about the consistency that you have in your intimate pursuit of what Father God on the inside looks for you. To be constant in that place. We need to build on our identity. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 to 25. Romans 14, 19. 1 Peter 2, 1 to 25. 1 Corinthians 10, 23. Ephesians 4 and 12. 1 John 2, 1 to 29. All these scriptures have to do with you building consistently on the foundation of your identity. It's the place where we develop a language, a lens, a thought process that's consistent with who we are. You're called to practice what you believe. I want to see more people healed. Pray for more people. We're constantly waiting for something to hit us. Give me a sign. I pray we all get a sign, lightning. We all get struck by lightning this week. I'm just joking. Lord, I'm not speaking that over you. Prove yourself. And I'll be constant then, and I'll be consistent. He's already proved himself. He was faithful to his purpose so you could fulfill yours. Consistency. It's not a burden. If it's a burden, you're doing it wrong. It's the best life. That's why it's based on intimacy. See, consistency causes us to change our nature and character, to shift towards having his nature and his character. So I love this. If I consistently walk out my identity, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. This is who I am. This is who God is. This is it. It's truth. It's truth. It's truth. This is who you are. You have the gifts. You are anointed. That's a good place for amen. You are favored. You are highly favored and blessed. You already have the goods. So as I consistently walk out that identity, guess what happens? God starts moving towards me with my destiny. And destiny and identity go boom. And whatever truth I come into, I now, because of my consistency in the journey, it's not just a truth for the moment to go, that was cool. Truth is meant to become a part of my identity. So if I'm over here and this is my present state and I'm going through the worst time, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit shows up and says, let me lay a truth on you. I'm saying, lay the truth on me. He says, if you'll just start giving thankfulness, I'll spit you out of this fish. See, here's my journey. Truth, truth, thankfulness. Lord, I'm thankful. That's terrible. Lord, I'm thankful. Father, this don't look good. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful. Lord, I'm thankful. All of a sudden, I come into this experience of the consistency of that where I've now shifted my character. I become, listen, a thankful identity. Now listen, I actually become that truth. Why? Because truth is not something that's written in a book. Truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. He said, I am the way, the. I'm not earning it. It's an invitation. Colossians tells us 2 and 6 is therefore as you receive Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. The word walk in him means to be occupied with, to walk at large, to live, to follow. To live, to follow. That's just powerful. So as I walk towards him in destiny, marked by harmony, regularity, steady continuity, free from variation or contradiction, marked by agreement, this is the meaning again, showing steady conformity to character, profession, belief, or custom. He's constantly walking towards me, the same time with my future. You know why God never tells you everything? Because he always wants you to go after him with faith and trust. And you're always somewhere between present and future. I don't want to live present tense minded from day to day. I want to live present tense with future tense mind. Be a doer of the word, not a... We just had all these great messages on love, and I'd come in and try to maybe mess this up. I didn't want to do that. People say, well, it takes 10 to 5 years if you're a slug. I watch Noah be consistent when he come back home in his pursuit of God. God began to unload and download and download and unload and download and unload and download. He would come down with revelation and encounter, sometimes crying, sometimes laughing, sometimes annoying, but he showed up. He was consistent. We can get to the place where we want someone else to lead us into the future. But your future has to be embraced by you. I'm going to give you this one thought, and I've got to stop. There's so much here. You need to know this. Your relationship with God, he moves in your life at the speed that you choose. Now this, you really need to get this. He's kind like that. You know, the greatest pictures of that is the story of the prodigal son. You know, the father wasn't running around the countryside looking for his son. Where's he at? He was standing thinking about his son, looking out the window, and he saw his son coming running down the road, and he ran out, and what happened? They embraced. His son moved back into destiny, back into purpose. He was given the ring. I don't have time to preach on that. He's given a ring, a robe, and sandals, and who knows what else. We have this misconception that in relationship, we don't have to have any movement at all because all the promises of God are yes and amen. But the word amen does not just mean that you agree. It's aminya. It means to actively respond and move upon. I said 2 weeks ago, I said, Lord, I've had a lot of promises and a lot of prophetic words. Some are about money for our church. Show me how to cash those in. What's that look like? Because some of us get a prophetic word, we get a promise, we get a revelation, we get a truth, and then we go like this. Oh, that's so awesome. Bring it to me. Give it to me, Jesus. Because I'm this little squashy ant, and I don't have to do nothing. I'm like a fly on the wall. Bless me, and I'll just... Nothing worse than seeing those little lips, whatever it is those flies have, and they're on your food. You don't actually, they're pooping on your food. They don't really... They poop first or throw up, and then they eat it. It's kind of nasty, really. Right? That's how we are sometimes with truth. We eat it, and... regurgitate it, and eat it, and regurgitate it, eat it, and regurgitate it. We never really do anything with it. The cool thing about God is God redeems time. The faster you move towards him, the faster he moves towards you. Listen, if Darlene wouldn't gave me the time of day, I'd have tried for a little bit, but I'd eventually moved on. And that's an earthly covenant, earthly relationship. Father's not, he's always, I don't think he's not pursuing you, but he will not force himself on you. He said to the Laodicean church, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door," he's constantly giving us truth that are opening doors. We get to choose. Consistency is one of the greatest truths in the kingdom. It'll launch you into a level of new development in the nature and character of God than you've ever saw before. Why? Because you begin to take the truth that's giving and open every door and walk through that door. And the moment you do, you begin to become more energized by who you are and what your identity is. I've learned this. The faster I respond, the quicker things happen. Relationship is built on response. You're always responding to what he's doing, saying, declaring, and he's responding to you by the doors you open. He said to the Laodicean church, "You're lukewarm." You know, if you're laying in bed and somebody throws a bucket of cold water on you, there's a real shock, right? If I walked up to you after service and said, "That message I just shared, did you get the truth?" and threw a glass of cold water in your face, you go, "Ah!" But if I did it with boiling water, right, there's more of a rapid response, right? But if I'm lukewarm, tepid, that means lacking something. It means casual. Here's what Jesus said. Something happened with the Laodicean church that they stopped answering the door. Now, it didn't say they stopped hearing God knocking. He said they just stopped answering. And he said, because of that, you're lukewarm and all. I hate that word because we see spew like God's ticked. And he goes, "Okay, you don't want to be a part of me?" That's not what he's talking about. The word spew means to be in mourning. Here's what it looks like. No answer. No answer. Right now you're breaking my heart. I'm in deep mourning because you think you got it together, but you've lost your first love. I just want you to be consistent with opening the door. What if where we're going depends a little bit on our consistency? Here's what I've learned about this wonderful thing called the church, and I include myself. We complain about not having prayer, but when we have an appointment for prayer, nobody comes. We complain about not having anybody in our nursery, but nobody wants to be a part of it. These are not pet peeves. This is just reality. The Bible says, do not forsake the fellowship of the what? I love community, but if you look at the Acts church, it's both the meeting in the temple and meeting house to house. Sure, like house to house better. We eat. Who doesn't like that? I mean, it's a no-brainer. But people forget that Paul and Peter, they rented the synagogue. They met weekly in the synagogue. It's a twofold revelation. I'm not being mean. I'm just being, look in the Bible. Go ahead and stand. I want you to stand. You okay? So, we need to get on a walk where one of our key aspects of that walk is response to our relationship with God. Here's what the Lord said to me the other day. He said, you want more of me? I said, he didn't say this. He didn't say, you want a big church? None of that. And say, you want me to open up doors for ministry? Did none of that. He said, do you want more of me? Do you want to move from one place of here to the future? You want to discover destiny and what that looks like for you, Jamie? Here's what he said. Be a person of ultimate response. What truth do you have in your life right now that you're consistent in that the devil hates? Now think about your own life. Because some of us are very consistent about certain things. The gym, our health, our finances, our time. I could keep going. And sometimes when we're told that God wants all, it actually offends us a little bit because we don't have time for all. And the greatest lies that we receive as believers is, I don't have enough time, or I miss my time, or I don't qualify for this time. It's like me sitting with a couple and they're in this struggle in their covenant, and they're having a hard time of relationship. And she says, he works all the time. And he says, well, I pay for the house. You wouldn't have what I had if I didn't provide, and I didn't go work so hard, and I didn't do this. And he says, you're constantly being disconnected. You don't want any intimacy. You get paranoid when I touch you. You don't like the way, and it just goes on and on and on. But nobody ever realizes that if they could just be consistent to what's really, really important, the love and intimacy they have as a couple. Jesus said this. He defined it. He said, love the Lord God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. I've learned this. Now, you may have a different revelation. That requires some level of consistency from me. If I feed the flesh versus my spirit man, it really becomes hard for me. Now listen, consistency never affects how much God loves you. He's the God that changeth not. On his end, he's got it down. On my end, I'm doing the journey. I'm okay with the journey. But I've learned the more I give myself to it. And you, I know what you're, yeah, but you're a pastor. You're supposed to do that stuff. No, no, no. I was doing this stuff long before I was a pastor. When I came out of drugs, I knew my only hope was Jesus. I dived in so deep that Christian friends kept telling me, too much, man. It's too much. You pray how long in the morning? You do what at lunch break? You do what at supper when you come home from? It's too much. You're overboard, dude. A little consistency. The biggest lie we can have is that the relationship we have with God requires no effort from us at all. On his end, he loves us. Like I said, you don't have to do anything. You can go to heaven. You can accept Jesus on your deathbed and go to heaven. But if you're here and you want to discover what that looks like, because from creation, he He's had a plan for you. He's destined you with purpose. Close your eyes for a moment. Let me pray over you, and then I'm going to get Noah to come. Father, I thank you for everyone that's here. I pray that you'll touch their lives, Lord. I pray that you'll challenge them. Father, I am not trying to put any works on anybody in here tonight. I feel like I'm speaking from your heart that you want everybody to know that you are knocking so loud right now to pull them into a greater place from hem to heart. Discipline and self-control defined is actually consistency. That's what it looks like. Challenge us tonight. That you become our priority and you alone.